I am too, for the most part. I really squelched. I really squelched the temptation to get Ryan to fill for me so I could go fishing, John. You know, so you think that's ungodly for a pastor to talk like that? Then I guess you're in the wrong church. We got Hallelujah. No, I am thrilled to be here. And what an incredible video. When I look at that, you know, there are men equally precious, and they equally blow my mind, men and women who have given their lives for this country. Probably I would, you know, I don't know for sure. I guess I haven't looked at any numbers. I would imagine that most, up to date, gave their lives for a nation that was great. But there are, the farther you go back in history, I'm reminded of Hebrews. This isn't my sermon. I just want you to look at it. It's interesting to me. I'm reminded of Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Of course, we're talking about the subject of faith. I think of the men who, you know, go back to my great greats, and I'm sure many of you in here, if not most, have people in your family that gave their lives for this great nation. It was one thing to give your life for a nation that was great. It was another thing to give your life for a cause and a nation you believed in that was still in the building process. They hadn't experienced it. These men who gave their lives, not ever gave precious blood based on a vision. They saw God and country as a vision and gave their life's blood for this nation when it was still not yet a dream realized. Isn't that amazing? And it reminds me of Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11 real quick. This is just for fun, because we'll get into our main theme here in a minute. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. What an interesting thought. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and spoke or confessed of them that they, and they spoke and confessed that they were, excuse me, strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things declare plainly and seek a country. Isn't that interesting? And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity. They could have given up and went back. But these stood and pressed forward, and now they desire a better country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Men who gave their lives in faith, it says, died in faith, not having yet received the promise. Something very, very special about, very special about all of them, but in my mind, those who gave their lives for this country when there wasn't anything realized. Blood, prayer, a belief and a dream, and I believe God's mighty hand in this nation. Isn't that something? Can you say with me, God bless America. God bless America again. Hallelujah. Well, are you blessed today? Isn't it great to be in church? How many love Jesus? Three of you. How many love Jesus? There we, a little better, five of you. How many love Jesus? I don't know. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith. I want you to turn this morning to 1 Timothy, if you would. And I pray that with me you have 1 Timothy chapter 6. You're growing. I know every time I share these things, I'm reminded, I catch pockets of nuggets, new revelation, always. How many know the Word of God is like a diamond? The light of God shining on it as it turns casts new shadows and new hues and new colors and new beauties with every gradual turn. And there is new life for us today and every day in this precious Word of God. Amen. First Timothy, let me get there with you. Quit talking and get there with you. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor, this is his challenge for him. This is his exhortation. He says, fight the good fight of faith. I want you to back up and look at verse 10. He addresses the very things that heap on us the cares of this world. Jesus talks about the sower sowing the word, casting seed, and he gives a description for the different types of soil of the heart and what happens with that seed. Look here, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Let me back up a little bit more. Verse 6, for godliness with contentment is great gain. I may know there's nothing wrong with working hard. I believe in good work ethic. But if your source is the arm of the flesh, you're going to be in trouble. I'm very glad our source is God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many know there's an endless supply on every front there? Backing up, he says, but there's something called as we are gaining and as we're growing. How many know, God, we are the blessed of the Lord and blessed to be a blessing? Wow, y'all are rowdy this morning. Shout me down, why don't you? How many know we are blessed to be a blessing? Yeah. Hallelujah. And you got to be blessed to be a blessing. From inside out. Okay, here. And Scripture backs it up. It's not what I'm talking about this morning, so we'll move along. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Your stuff does not define you, nor should it ever. And your contentment, your rest in him is not, should not be, have any, shouldn't be contingent on what you have or don't have. I know Jackie and I had times when we felt the Lord told us to go to the mission field, and as a result of that, lost everything we had. And after several years, came back and sat in a little apartment with nothing, with a broke down car and two little girls. And this process repeated, whether it by ignorance or overzealous or misled. Our hearts were pure, and our heart, our desire to want to honor God certainly was there. But I'll tell you one thing, we would sit on our cardboard boxes eating cheap Chinese food and be so thankful that we were in love, that God was good, that there was a new beginning, it was a new day, nothing was more important than the right now, and that everything, it didn't matter, have or have not, our contentment and our joy had nothing to do with our stuff. Now, how many know God doesn't mind us having stuff? I believe he blesses his own. I'm not saying poverty is good. In fact, if you study your Bible, the Bible says that Jesus was made poor. Speaking of money, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, Paul, and I get so frustrated with people who want to attack a so-called prosperity gospel. They don't even know what they're talking about. First off, there's not a prosperity gospel. There's a bunch of yahoos that have taken scriptures, twisted them totally out of context, and have turned the gospel into a cheap mechanism whereby we get stuff. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the one who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and a house that covers your head, and clothes that clothes your body, and never worrying about what your next meal is going to be. And Paul speaks of Jesus was made poor. That means that poverty is part and parcel to the atonement, just as much as your salvation, your healing, your deliverance. God is not interested in your being poor and broke. How many know the blessed are able to be a blessing? Paul goes on to say that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, Jesus was made poor so that you and I, and the context, by the way, is money. Can everybody say with me, moolah? The context is money, and he said he was made poor so that you and I could be made rich. Rich meaning, biblically, a full supply, ready and able to be a blessing to those around us. How many know God, If he can get it through you, somebody said, he will get it to you. Now, if you start holding it up and you forget how to give, it just kind of doesn't work well that way. There's a lot of people that wonder why the flow isn't there. Well, kick the hole out of the bottom of your bucket. Start being a blessing. Amen. He'll make sure there's a flow there. Anyway, that has nothing to do with where I'm going. Oh, so here we go. He says, but they, says, having good raiment, let us therewith be content, for they which be rich fall into temptation and snares. This is very true. How many have seen people change? I remember I did a deal several years ago on people that win the lottery. It is downright stinking scary. From the worst suicide all the way back to people who at least had a decent marriage and were getting by and working hard, who are now destitute, bankrupt, divorced, a wreck, and they won millions. I mean, know that the rich, without God being the one, it can be a big mess. So anyway, the rich fall into temptation snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, it doesn't say money. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. All right? Don't tell me money's the root of all evil, because most of you spend most of your work making a little bit more money to pay bills, to take care of needs, and to also hopefully to be a blessing. Can you say amen? It's the love of money. All right, we know that. Which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. How many know anybody like that? How many would admit that you know somebody like that? Okay, so here we go. But thou, now here we are. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Jesus, again, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be as you go, like the wake behind the boat. As you go, they follow and are added to you. Can you lift up both hands this morning and say, thank you, Lord, every need is supplied. Jesus promised it, okay? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verse 12, our verse, we're finally back to it, says, fight the good fight of faith. Notice the word fight. Notice the word fight. There's a reason why we're taking time and standing. Listen, some of you, even as we have begun, this is the way the enemy works, even as we have begun to deal over the last couple of months with the message of faith, the enemy will try to come in like a flood. Some of you are believing God for loved ones. Others are believing God for miracles in your body. Others are believing God for broken relationships, for the mending and healing of broken relationships. Others are believing God for other issues that you may be dealing with. With whatever they may be, the salvation of a loved one, or more effective ministry, and whatever it may be. And as you have heard faith, and as you've walked out of here and been encouraged and strengthened, how many have noticed that the enemy comes in swiftly to try to overwhelm that encouragement, that strength, and try to inundate you with information that tries to steal away what God designed you to live in? For how many can say it with me today? The just shall live by faith. I've even heard the voice in the Spirit while I've been preaching. Oh, gee, we're going to talk about faith again. You bet your boots we're going to talk about faith again, because I believe right here, listen, once we got grace down, I know that he loves me. That perfect love should, according to John, cast out 4:18, 1 John 4:18, should cast out all fear. If we're living in fear and unbelief, that means we are not living in the knowledge of who we have become and what we already have as a result of confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Look at what he tells him. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, John says that when we confess, listen close, how many in here have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior with your mouth, believing? Come on, all over the room. I believe everybody in here this morning, at some point you've said, Jesus, you are Lord. I believe you were raised from the dead for me. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, John tells us that we have. Everybody say with me, have. Say it twice. Have. Have. We have eternal life. It's already there. It's on the inside of us. Now here we see that Paul says to Timothy, Paul, who preaches the same gospel, speaking of eternal life that is ours already. We have that living, resident on the inside of us. He tells young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold. Everybody say, lay hold. There's something in him already that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is telling young Timothy, listen, there is a fight involved, and here's how it works. Faith will help you lay hold on. It's going to take some effort to get the Word of God in you and to stand and fight and believe God. Listen, don't let the devil intimidate you. The Bible speaks. I believe it's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You can check me out to make sure that I'm in the right place. But it talks about how that we are children of God by faith. How many children of God do we have in the house today? Come on, we are children of God by faith. You could put it this way. We are children, every one of us in here is a child of faith. In other words, faith in this God, the God of all things, caused us to come alive, experiencing redemption, bought back and returned to our original position before God through the blood of Jesus. How many are glad for that today? Hallelujah. Okay, so here's the deal. Children, you could say children of faith. Now, I'm not perverting the Word of God. I'm just trying to bring something to you. Children of God by faith, which would make you children of faith, you could say. And here's why I say that, because the Apostle Paul also speaks in Colossians and in other places of children of wrath. Can everybody say children of wrath? This children, child of wrath, or children of wrath, are those who have not come in yet to Jesus. And they are living in their state of sin and producing things that are destructive to themselves and those around them. Children of wrath. John tells us in 1 John that God's perfect love for us, 1 John 4:18, His perfect love for us, 17 and 18 actually, that whole thing we're going to look at in just a minute, that God's perfect love for us cast out all fear. And he speaks of a fear of coming judgment, or you could say easily, wrath. How many know that a child of wrath is a child of fear? I want you to know this morning, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, fear, listen to me close, fear has no right in your life. Now, we need to make a distinction, and I don't want you walking out of here saying, well, geez, then what's the matter with me? I have fear, therefore I must be a second-class believer. Listen, every one of us, I love, my wife has a plaque in our bathroom, John Wayne. It says that courage is being scared to death and yet saddling up anyway. So life in Jesus is not the absence of fear. But what do we do when fear offers itself? We stand, we make a decision. Actually, it's a response to God's love and care for us that causes us to make a decision to believe truth that trumps fact. I can just see it happen. There it happened again. Listen, it is truth that trumps fact. Are you hearing me? We brought this up. Somebody reminded me of my own words in our last men's Bible study, and it blessed me, not my words, but what came out of me during a sermon, and it blessed me because I've been listening to that this week as I've been preparing. Truth that trumps facts. How many have some facts in your life that look pretty, pretty sobering? Are you here today? How many know there is a truth? By His stripes, I was healed. Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on Thee. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. I've got a blueprint for a future for you that's looking so bright you have to wear shades. Now that's my paraphrase of Jeremiah 29:11. But He has a future for you, if you'll dare to believe it. But there is a fight. I mean, no, there is a fight. But this fight is not a fight like we think of as a fight. This fight is actually a form of rest. That's going to take me a while to sort that one out for you. But this fight is a fight in which it is a fight to rest in His love and in His promises for us. Now, before we go any further, I want to get something very clear. Children of God, purchased by the blood of Jesus, fear has no right in your life. Now, there is a natural fear that is healthy. You should be afraid of being at the Grand Canyon and seeing if you can walk on the top of the handrail. Okay? There are things that you should be naturally afraid of. But I'm speaking of a fear that is irrational. It is the one that is predominant in most people's lives. It is a spiritual fear. This is what the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Come on, are you here this morning? Love and of a sound mind. I'm very glad for Jesus today. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So here's the thing. Now, last week we talked about Romans 10, 17. If you weren't here, write that verse down and look at it. Faith comes to us initially by the hearing of the gospel. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith came to you to believe in the work of Jesus on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection and victory, believing that we were raised together with Him in new life. This all happened as a result of faith that was deposited in us that we responded to with that same faith. Are you with me? That helped us step into new life. A new creature was formed on the inside of us. How many are glad for that today? Okay? So faith was given to us. Now, Romans 12:3 tells us that to every man is given the measure of faith. I believe that everything that we need, and we're going to look at this scripture, okay, in just a few minutes in 2 Peter, that says that everything that pertains to life and godliness has been, past tense, everything that pertains. So those that want to quibble with me about faith being given to every believer, we got the same starting place. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How many are living life or learning to live life not by my faith, but the faith of the Son of God that was given to me when I first believed? Now here's the thing. Faith now in us, we can grow, mature in releasing and operating in that faith. The same way Paul said that you received Christ. How did you receive Christ? By faith. Paul said the same way that you receive Christ, so also walk in Him. So we receive faith initially. How many are following me? I'm trying to make it as simple as I possibly can. Not that I'm so brainy and smart. I just realize that sometimes I just go so fast that I can't keep up with myself. That's why I forget where I'm at half the time. So I'm trying to make sure we're breaking down. So here's the deal. So we initially receive the faith of God when we put our faith in Jesus. Amen? Now that faith in us, the same way that we received Christ, we also walk in Him. We receive Christ by faith. Now we walk by faith, Paul said, and not by sight. Are you with me? So we have faith now, but that faith is we become more mature in understanding and how to use that and growing it. You could put it this way. The faith that we have, our ability to release it and operate in it, is strengthened. Are you here today? How many are glad for strengthened faith? I want to encourage you today. Our faith is strengthened now. I want you to pray for me, Pastor Lee, that the Lord will give me more faith. In my opinion, don't want to argue with you about it, but in my opinion, you don't need more faith. Somebody once said to Brother T.L. Osborne, said, would you please pray for me? A man who did mighty miracles. They said, would you please pray for me that I'll have more power in my Christian life? T.L. Osborne says, I cannot do that, but I will pray that you will allow yourself to be exposed to more gospel. For Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto our full salvation. That's good news. So you don't need more power. You need more gospel about the power that you already have. Ephesians 3:20 puts it this way. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. What power, Brother Lee? That's why I'm talking about faith this morning. There's a power. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that he, together with the fullness of the Godhead, dwells on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. That means that we haven't even tapped into an nth of what it means to walk by faith. I speak for myself. But let me tell you something. It's exciting to learn and to grow. Even if you're like me, baby steps. I'm getting higher. I'm going from glory to glory. I'm learning to stand. Are you here today? So I want to encourage you, all right, in faith. Now that faith, somebody says, Pastor Lee, I want you to pray that I'll have more faith. You don't need more faith. What you need is more knowledge about the faith that you already have. That's what the Bible says. Are you here today? Okay. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Are you in such deep debt that it seems impossible to climb out? And every waking moment is fear of the future and fear of what will happen. Listen, turn it over to God. Find out God's word in reference to how to structure your financial life. Begin to trust him. And as you begin to put some things in practice, he will cause a supernatural override. I was talking to my boy Luke the other day. He said, Dad, the longer I'm away, the more I realize that we can work hard and we can put ourselves in certain places, but he said it is only God who opens up supernatural favor. But if we're in the process of trusting him and believing God and appropriating his word in our lives, as we are trusting him, believing him, making a decision to respond to his goodness by faith, he will see to it that it's not just your doing his word. That's important, but he will rise, help you rise above even your doing. As long as you are trusting and responding by faith, are you here today? And looking at, for example, the financial thing, whatever it is that you're going through, a physical thing, it doesn't matter. There is enough faith in you because it's God's faith to create a universe. Now, don't get weird. I didn't say you're supposed to go out and that's weird. That's how many know his sovereignty. That's his. He's delegated some of that power to us through his name. But how many know we are godlike in this? As his sons, he has commanded us to shine as light in this world. And he gave us the power to declare some things by faith, to change some things through the declaration of faith, to believe, knowing, as he told the man who brought his demoniac son, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that man's response was, Lord, I believe, and help my unbelief. How many in here can join together, say, I believe, and Lord, I'm growing, help my unbelief. Okay, so we have something here that needs to take place. But I want to encourage you. I want you to say it with me today. I have all the faith already that I will ever need. Jesus is in me, and his faith is a gift for me and in me. I'm not a child. Listen, say it with me. I want you to say it like you mean it. I'm not a child of fear. I'm not a child of wrath. I am a child of God by faith. Fear has no right in me. For God, come on, don't weaken on me. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul's telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And with this, you will lay hold on what you already possess in your inner man. It's not about getting something you don't have. Listen, people, it's releasing something by that faith that you already have. That's why you hear me often speaking to immune systems. Speaking to open your mouth. Where we started a couple of months ago, Paul says, we believe, quoting David in the Psalms, we believe, therefore we speak. Wow. Awesome stuff. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. You enjoying this yet? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter. I'm not a child of fear. I'm a child of faith, of God by faith. 1 Peter. Chapter 5. We're going to read 6, 7, and 8. And here's what it says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Quit worrying about everybody else. You humble yourself before him. Submit to his love. Relax in what he has promised you. Quit fighting so hard. Quit working so hard. Bruce, I was standing talking with Bruce the other day at the bank, and he repeated something that I've said many times, and it was just like boing, and it's another thing, along with the other that has just stayed with me. When we work, God rests. And when we rest, God goes to work. I understand that's better caught than taught. And as we move along, the fullness of what that means will come to you. I'm not even going to try to explain it right now. But here's a verse that gets close. How? You could say, I think it's perfectly in order because of the way this sentence is structured. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, colon, casting all your care upon. How do you humble yourself? Have you ever seen that before? Trust him. Quit your antics. Ever seen somebody just so humble? They're just so humble they couldn't hardly. I'm so humble. No, you're not. You're proud. You're arrogant. You're self-righteous. Humble is, woo! God is good to me. Wait, no, that's arrogant. You're saying that he's... I love, first time I heard Brother Womack say it, I thought, he's arrogant. The more I've got to know it, I scared the baby. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Me and my big mouth. Okay, here we go. Remember the first time I heard Brother Womack say that, I believe that God has my picture on his mantle. I thought, you arrogant son of God. The more I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's true humility. Casting all your care upon him. How many have cares today weighing you down? You mean you're telling me just to cast them? I'm not telling you anything, people. When I'm reading, he says that you can trust him right now. Cast them. This beautiful coat I got from Gary, I'm going to cast it. You ready? Cast your cares. Somewhere in that, God equates that to, don't wrinkle my coat. Somewhere, I cast my cares. And that translates to humbling myself. Now look at what he says. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Anybody here this morning? He does care for you. Specifically, individually, you with all your stuff. Will not define stuff. He cares for you. Be sober and vigilant. This is usually where we start because it's all about me getting into the fight and arming up and getting frothy at the mouth and wild-eyed. Be sober and vigilant. I don't know where it's coming from. Be sober and vigilant. For the devil, who's a co-equal with God, you give him a little bit of room, he'll overpower God. They're co-equals. And you're, well, this is how we live. Be sober. Notice that this is predicated by humble yourself. How? Take these worries. I'm not adding, Jesus said, one cubit to my stature by worrying today about what I don't know anyway. It took a long time of the door of fear being open before Job began to experience something, and he said, that which I greatly feared. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. People who feel rejected tend to reject other people because there's a presupposition that I'm being rejected, so therefore I'm reacting to what may or may not be there at all. And the Bible says, he that desires friends, here's the godly submission, casting all your cares, he who desires friends must make himself friendly. Trust the process. Anyway, back to this. Casting all your cares upon him, be sober. Notice, be sober and vigilant comes after. I believe that everything's put in the Word of God like that's put there for a reason and in the order that it's in. Be sober and vigilant. He says, look at what he says. Be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may. Not at will. Not cuando te dé la gana. Interpret, Caleb. Whenever the heck he wants to. I guess that's sort of the... Right, when he feels like it. Okay? May. Here's the thing. Faith, true faith, comes by knowledge. Unbelief also comes through negative knowledge. We need to realize what we're going to expose ourselves to more and what we're going to embrace, truth over so-called fact. Now here's the deal. Be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. How many know the devil does have a lot of power? But how many are aware that that power has a very weak link? If you were to take 220 and 220 open leads, I've get this right because I got an electrician sitting here. Okay. Now all we have to do, it takes a child to just touch them. And in that spark and flash is enough power to kill a room full of people, to do all kinds of craziness. One weak small. It doesn't take a lot of power. It doesn't take a powerful person. Just a weak link. Satan knows that. And he works overtime to convince children of faith that because of they're not living perfectly before God, there's somehow a disconnect with God, and for a time they have stepped over into the children of wrath category. And you deserve some things. And we're over here when we don't belong. In fact, I'll challenge you. The apostle says to those, he speaks to those in the epistles, he says, you who now are, he makes a declaration over them. He says, you are, by faith in Jesus, children of light. So you need to stop. Read that backwards. They're doing things that the children of wrath are doing. Read it backwards, because this is what he says. So because you are children of light by faith, you need to stop doing these things, because it doesn't behoove you at all. It doesn't help you at all. It confuses the onlookers. It brings death into your life that doesn't belong to you. Stop doing these things, for upon the children of wrath falls the wrath of God for these things. He's saying, this isn't going to, the wrath of God isn't falling on you. You're children of light. Why are you operating over here in the children of wrath stuff? But read it backwards. He's saying that just because you are doing these things doesn't mean you're in that category. I'm telling you, stop. Because your it's not about trying to get you to change your behavior. More importantly, he's trying to get them to realize who they are. Say with me today, I'm a child of faith. Fear has no right in me. For God, I'm going to keep quoting it until you get it. For God has not given me the child of God who put my faith in Jesus. I got some child of wrath stuff over here. Not me, Brother Lee. Oh, really? Shall we define it? All of us are challenged in some area or another, and it's all relative to our growth and maturity. In fact, Paul set the benchmark too far down that any of us could jump over it. I mean, could make it under, I guess you could say, without faith. I went the wrong way. What I'm getting at is he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So that's why he could say, all have sinned and fallen short. How many in here are sinless? But how many, as you're getting a hold of the love of God and responding by faith, sin that no longer has dominion over you is losing its effective power in your flesh? If not, you got more to learn about grace. We'll leave grace alone a minute. We're talking about faith. Say, I'm not a child of wrath, not a child of fear. I'm a child of faith, and fear has no right in me. That's powerful. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I got some things I want to tie together before we go to give way to next week, because I want to encourage you. Don't become weary in your stand of faith. Some of you are seeing peaks and glimpses of what you thought a few months ago was impossible. This is not the time to weaken. This is the time to stand boldly and declare the truth of God's word. Now, look at this verse. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I don't know how true it is or not. I've not gone to study this out, but I was told a while back, told this for truth, if it's not totally 100%, it certainly bears out in the spiritual realm. They say that older lions, that tend to be toothless, battle-worn, battle-scarred. It is the way of the lions for his roar to be heard. And it causes prey to run in blind terror right into the younger lions that take them down. Said, you can hear the older lion, the roar. I've heard the roar of a lion. Remember Parque? It was a half mile away. And you could hear it fill that forest, those pines, rattle down through there. I mean, it was hard to get used to the roar of an African lion. How's that? That may have been one time when you went, we were down on the other end one time. Oh, yeah, no, he's right. It sounded like it. Here he is a half mile away, and it sounded like he was right outside our trailer. The roar of a lion. Now, I want you to listen to something I heard Brother Prince say, and it stuck with me, and I think he's dead on. I can't show you specifically verse, but it runs with the vein and flow of all of Scripture. How many know that in Scripture there's only one legitimate lion? It's called the Lion of Judah. And Satan will steal Jesus' words and steal the Word of God, which is still Jesus' Word. He who was with God and was God. Are you with me? He will steal those words and use Bible words to legalistically twist your thinking and make you feel guilty before God and make you feel disapproval. The roar of religion, the roar of your unworthiness, the roar of you're still a child of wrath, the roar, this roar is designed to sound a little bit like the lion, but isn't the lion. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking through this deceit whom he may. He needs your permission. I said the devil has no access to your life. Read your Bible without your permission. Now, you may do it ignorantly. That's why we're preaching the Word of God. You may do it unwittingly. This is why he says, first, humble yourself. How? Cast all your cares, believe in his love for you. What happens then? Now that we are secure in that knowledge, now, don't go to sleep. Be sober and vigilant, because there's somebody who will try to tell you he doesn't care for you. And you've been humbling yourself forever, and it's just getting worse. You following me, people? Bang. Okay. Lion. Turn with me to an interesting proverb. Proverbs 27. How many remember the story of Elijah? 1 Kings 19. And the prophets of Baal. A massive victory. 850 prophets of Baal slain. God manifest himself in fire on a soaking wet altar. I mean, you remember the whole story? Elijah, this great man of faith and power. And in 1 Kings 19, you see that after all of this, Jezebel said, after he had demonstrated the power of God over the power of the gods of Baal. Are you listening to me? After all of that display of power, so if you feel like somehow you don't quite measure up, this is what James was talking about in James chapter 5 when he said Elijah, who was a man just like, or a woman just like you and I, was subject to like passions. He had the same struggles. He had the same flesh. He had the same stuff. But this man stood and said, God said, therefore I say, it will not rain for 3.5 years. And he called that fervent prayer, by the way. Not this. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's not fervent. God said, this is fervent prayer. It will not rain, thus saith the Lord. What do you need to say about your life? Don't tell me you're fighting the good fight of faith unless once in a while you do a little roaring back. Come on, are you here today? Elijah, after all this display of power and the mighty man of God, Jezebel, that little hussy, stands up and says, I don't care about your God. I'm going to get you and I'm going to let you have it. And I don't care about what it, blah, 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 blah. And you know what Elijah does? He runs like a baby. There's several things that happens. He runs when there is nothing to run from. Not only that, he becomes disillusioned with his God. Here's one of the things you'll find out about fear. You justify fear, you will soon separate yourself from other friends and people. He leaves his friend and goes on. Isolation is a maneuver, a demonic maneuver of the enemy. Jesus always sent them two by two. Find somebody to get in agreement with. If you're not married, find somebody that you can get in agreement with. Pick up the phone and say, agree with me to stand. But Elijah ran. And as a result of this thing, he ran and came into total depression, total burnout. That's where the enemy wants to take you, depression and burnout. But he's a liar. I want you to look at Proverbs 27. Did I get the right one? 28, excuse me. 28. I do that all the time. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says this. Think of this, the lion. The wicked flee. Now, say with me, I'm no longer part of the wicked. But see, that's what the roar of the lion does. It tries to make you believe that you are still, in some way, shape, or form, part of the children of doubt. Look at what 28 verse 1 says. The wicked flee when no man pursues. How many remember Mephibosheth? His babysitter was running in terror from David. Who was going to bless him? As a grown man, he sought out by King David, who was a type of Jesus, and brought into the king's palace, who this man was raised to believe that David was his enemy and he's going to kill him. Still crippled from his mama falling with him, running in terror from David, who was not going to do anything. Still crippled now as an adult man is invited in the palace. David seeks out all of these disconnects of family, has him come in and sit at his table of bounty. And I love the beautiful picture that my brokenness, we were talking about that with Sally, my brokenness is hidden under the beautiful, bountiful, feasting table of God. Great and exceeding precious promises, all for me. That's a beautiful thing. But Mephibosheth was crippled because they were fleeing when no one pursued. Fear. Everybody say fear. Fear. 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as the, I'm going to change it, the lion. The more you find out what his love did for you in reference to your righteousness before God, the bolder you will become. T Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And in this process, lay hold on what already belongs to you. Make it work. Whew. It's good news. I'm very glad for Jesus today. A couple of thoughts. Man, I wanted to get farther in that today. I always want to get farther. Look at, very quickly, in the time we have left, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, then I'll turn you loose here. Around 2 o'clock. Second Peter, I love this verse of scripture. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power, let me back up so that it makes sense. 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge. Grace and peace. You need peace? You need peace in your life? It's added to you by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he just said. 3, according as his divine power hath... Everybody say hath. That's King James for has done deal. Got it? Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. What? There it is, people. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be. This is another similar statement as Paul telling Timothy, lay hold on what is already in you. Here he's saying the same thing, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Great and exceeding precious promises through the knowledge of him. When I say that, I think of Jesus before he died, before the crucifixion. Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. But, how many are glad for, but I have prayed for you. Hairy-legged, foul-mouthed, denier of Jesus is the preacher of Pentecost. So where's that put you? Yeah, I'm a child of faith because of the work of Jesus. We're going to hit this fear thing. Fear's a lie. I think of Jesus saying, in Mark, let us go to the other side. They get into a storm. He's sleeping in the boat. Master, don't you care that we all die? He rebuked them. In reference to their faith. Why? Because the King of the universe, creator of all things, Colossians 1 that says everything's held together by him, everything was created by him and for him, everything's held together by him. Hebrews 1 verse 3 that says by the word of his power, all things. Are you with me? He had said, let us go to the other side. There's the promise. But the storm and the waves caused unbelief to attempt the roar of the lion to attempt to override truth that trumps fact. The just, the righteous. Are you starting to get a picture of this? Shall live by faith. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained. Do you know how precious your faith is to you? It's overcoming faith. Hallelujah. Now here's the deal. I'm going to run through these quick because I don't want to have to do this next week. Are you ready? Mark, get set, go. So we know that faith comes initially through knowledge of the gospel. Faith is deposited in us as a new creation. From then on, faith is strengthened through the knowledge of the word. We're doing a recap. You ready? Here we go. We're going to tie this up. Unbelief is the result of negative information or knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Not lack of tongues, not lack of spirituality, not your lack of winning the lost. You perish because you don't know what you need to know. And Jesus' whole way that he operated was preaching the gospel, then miracles followed. Every time. Okay? The effects of fear. Fear will make us paranoid. This is what happened to Elijah. He ran. Are you with me? Next week we're going to talk about Elisha, who saw another realm and was emboldened, saying, you don't understand who's with us. You may not see it, but there's a host and an army that backs us. Know it today. See it. Let me jump forward here. As a believer, the only power the devil has over you is the power you allow him to have. We said this earlier. 2 Timothy 1:7. How many can quote it? God has not given me the spirit of fear. But the only thing he can bring against you is fear and threats. This is spiritual fear. The roar of the lion we addressed in 1 Peter 5:8. Proverbs 21:8, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Fear is an empty threat in the name of a powerless God. This is what Elijah didn't understand and why he fled. Someone once said that a roaring lion is usually an older lion. Okay, we covered that. How many are going to remember that? Don't run. Don't run from just a noise. Psalms 91, I was going to go there. You can look at it for yourself. I believe it's Psalms 91, 5 or 6, that says that those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will not be afraid of terror by night. It's interesting. Terror by night. Terror. Something you can't see all around you. You ever walked in, you ever seen a little child? You walk in and you know, a little 1 or 2 year old, and you walk in and you go, aah! What do they do? I mean, it's wide open, just running headlong anywhere they'll go. I mean, the more we grow in God, the more just noise. Come on, are you here today? The more just noise we can stand and believe God. Don't become paranoid. People who walk and live in fear start pointing at others. People who walk and live in fear start arranging their lives around what they believe that others are thinking of them. They start arranging and moving their life about what they believe erroneously God thinks about them. Don't live in fear. You're not a child of fear. Fear has no place in your life. You're a child of faith. Hallelujah. That caused you to step into the love of God. Spiritual fear is the result of the lack of knowledge of God's love and care for you. Back to 1 Peter 5:8. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And if I keep going, I'm going to be here till afternoon, and I'm going to have to stop right there rather abruptly. Have you received something this morning? Stand and believe God. Don't run from the roar. Know that faith in his word trumps fact. Are you here today? And let's believe God together. And we'll hit this again next week. Stand today if you would with me. Let's lift our hands together. Would you say it with me one more time? I'm not a child of wrath. I am not, say it with some conviction, I'm not a child of fear. Fear has no right in my life. I'm a child of God. A child of God by faith. I live by that faith. So I'm going to stand and I'm going to declare some things. I'm going to roar back. Would you say that midday? I'm going to do some roaring back. And I want to encourage you today, stand. God has promised. Stand in His Word. Paul, writing to Timothy, the Holy Spirit echoes it today from this pulpit area to your heart. Listen, fight the good fight of faith. It's worth it. It's worth every second of pain and tear and struggle, for He will soon turn your tears into shouts of joy as you see that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that He could ask or think. The man in charge of the boat that you're in will make sure. He said, "Let us go." So resist the terror. Are you here today? Resist the fear. In Jesus' name, here's what James told us. It's the same thing we just heard from Paul. Submit to God. Can you do that all over the room? Can you lift your hand all over the room? We submit to your love and to your goodness. I know that you care for me. Right now, by faith, oh, my mind is battling this. It's just, there's some things that have wanted to overwhelm me, but I'm reaching hold. I'm taking hold. I'm laying hold by faith. I recognize it's a fight. Have you figured out that anything worth anything in this life doesn't come without a fight? But this is called a good fight. Let me encourage you, because it's a good fight. What is the only good fight that you know of? It's the one you win. So listen, the win is already yours. Stand, hold strong, declare the word of God, speak the promise over your life. Know that fear has no right over your life. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. Everything that pertains to my life and all that is God-like has been given to me already. Great and exceeding precious promises as I stand and declare. Healing. Are you here today? Healing to that marriage. I speak healing to that marriage. I don't know who I'm talking about, but I command healing to that marriage in Jesus' name. You open up, you reveal your revelation is going to do what a psychologist, what a counselor couldn't do. For the love of God. For the love of God. For the love of God. I speak to disorders that the doctor said was a hopeless deal. Lie! I'm gonna roar back. That's a lie. Don't you swallow it. Don't you swallow it. You stand tall and declare with Elijah. 1 Kings 17, God has said, therefore I say. The God of order. I said, the God of order is my physician. You here today? That's why He can say, the stripes His Son bore were from me. Thank you for healthy babies. I said, thank you for healthy babies. I call that fear, and I'm joining myself with somebody else right now. I call that fear to naught. You shouldn't let that thought enter your mind without immediately saying, ha, busted, not in my house. I'm a child of faith, not of fear. Not in my house. Thank you, Lord, every need. Thank you for your blessing on your people, your blessing on their business, your blessing on their giving, your blessing through them on those around them, your blessing of love to those that don't deserve it, a tender hand to somebody that would deserve a whack, but the love of God constrains. Thank you, we don't react in fear from a roar, but we stand and roar with the Lion of Judah. His word is forever settled in heaven. So be it, and everybody shout amen. Come on, would you get excited with me? Come on, say amen for yourself. Come on, lift your hand. Amen, amen.